We have been talking about learning to occupy, learning to overcome. And tonight I'm going to probably finish it up and then start something else. Next week we will not be here, July the 6th, taking that whole weekend off. So we will not be here Sunday night. So just enjoy whatever you got on the plate with family, going places or doing whatever. I really believe, as I've been talking about on and off for the last couple months, that the Lord is really on us to do what He's asking us to do. For a long time, it's just been Him getting us ready, giving us vision, and I really think this was the year for us just to step out and just start doing it and believing Him and having faith to do it. And it does take faith. Because He doesn't give you the whole picture. He doesn't give you all of the resources. You just step out and just say, Lord, I say yes. That is the key, is just to say yes. And then you start showing me what to do. We gave out a formula way at the beginning. And I think it's a great formula for the rest of your life to get to your purpose. Plan plus prophetic equals purpose. Plan is, Lord, I need wisdom. I need the steps. I need the action items. Prophetic, what I mean by prophetic is hearing His voice. And just to stay close to Him. That sign when you come in the lobby, it says live close. Even when He gives you a plan, live close. He may change it up. He may add to it, take away from it, because He's into the journey and He wants us to watch from it. And so I just challenge you to make that every morning. Lord, what's the plan? You've given me an assignment. If He hasn't given you an assignment, just stay close to you. He'll give you an assignment. Even if it's as mundane, you know, I do software during the week. I can't say I'm trying to change the world with software, but I wake up and say, Lord, let me be the best at what I can be today. Let me do the best at what I can do today. Help me to be the best software developer. And so just apply that to your life. And Lord, if you want to give me some specifics, I'm open to it. And ask for His voice all during the day. And you'll exit on a much, much higher plane. Because He believes in changing our world. That's why He's left us here. You don't go to heaven as soon as you get saved. He believes in changing this world. And we're going to end up back here even after we die and go to heaven. Heaven's just a holding tank. It's a great holding tank, but that's His domain. Our domain is this place. And it says the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to man. And so He wants us to learn how to overcome and change things around us. And it does take faith. It does take perseverance. 2 weeks ago when I last talked, I talked about perseverance. It takes perseverance to do this stuff. And perseverance requires faith because you believe that those things that you cannot see will come about. Faith, my definition of faith is simply this, that what God said He would do, He will do. I don't know how, I don't know when, that's not my problem. When He wants me to do a how or when He wants me to do a when, He'll show me a how and a when. And if we stay close to Him, He'll walk through it. It's almost all of it's Him, but our part is crucial. And just to stay close to Him. And it does require faith because we can't see God. But over time, we can see the results of God working in our life. And so just to stay close and live close to Him. I want to end up tonight talking about an example of somebody that is an overcomer. And that was King Solomon, the son of David, the ruler of Israel. And I want to pick out four lessons from his life that I think we can apply today and in the future. Because Solomon is a prototype, is a prophetic picture of bringing the kingdom of God into this world. I mean, his success was unbelievable. Let's start off by, I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. And I'm going to read all the way through verse 8. So it'll be a little long, but I think it'll be good. And this is out of the New Living Translation. First Kings 10:1. For those, I guess everybody would know, but those that don't know, he was the king after David. He was David's son, and he took over, and he enlarged the kingdom. He brought it to a place of excellence that was unbelievable. And so, verse 1, when the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, which brought honor to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. See, the Lord wants to bless you. It brings honor to Him. I don't quite know how all of it is, but true blessings that come to you, flow down to you, we get them, enjoy them, realize you're positioned to receive a lot of these blessings, but realize God gets honor by blessing you. They go, wow, look at, we're talking about King Solomon, look at these kids, look at my kids, they're blessed, aren't they? And so that brings him honor. Verse 2 of 1 Kings 10. So the queen of Sheba arrived in Jerusalem with a large group of attendants and a great caravan of camels loaded with spices, large quantities of gold, and precious jewels. She was bringing all this riches to King Solomon, who already had all this stuff. When she met with Solomon, she talked with him about everything she had on her mind. Wouldn't that have been a fascinating conversation? Here's the queen of Sheba, which is a whole other territory. She had all these questions for King Solomon. I would love to have been there and get the YouTube stream or the DVD on this thing. What would she ask King Solomon? Verse 3. Solomon had answers for all her questions. And we know the reason was is because, well, we'll get to that in a minute, but because he asked for the gift of wisdom when he started out, which is really the same thing I was saying a while ago about make your formula, this formula your life. Get the plan plus prophetic equals the purpose. Plan is, Lord, what's the plan? I need wisdom. When the queen of Sheba realized how very wise Solomon was, and when she saw the palace he had built, she was overwhelmed. She was also amazed at the food on his tables, the organization of his officials, and their splendid clothing, the cupbearers and the burnt offerings Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. Verse 6, she exclaimed to the king, "Everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true." I tell you what, when we connect with the Father on our assignment and humble ourselves, like we were talking about earlier, and take up His cross and say, Lord, what is your plan that you want me to carry about? It changes not just our world, but it changes the world around us. And some of us all of us will influence other people and then go, what happened to this guy over here? He was raised just like I was, went to the same high school I went to, lived in this city all of the time. But there are blessings on him and it just ain't happening anywhere else. Some people even have regional influence. Some people even have national influence like King Solomon. When we align with God, God is going places and He is a winner. Each of us have different assignments. Each of us have different callings. Not all of us are building palaces like Solomon, but the same principles are here. Verse 7, I didn't believe what was said about you until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity are far beyond what I was told. How happy your people must be. When we follow God, it is a cost. There is a death. But in the end, He replaces it with exactly what we need, how we need it, and it blesses us, and it blesses the people around us, because these things flow downhill. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom. So that's the background. Here's four lessons that I picked up from the life of Solomon. The first one is the word order. When the Queen of Sheba came up, she was amazed at the order and the excellence and how everything was in order. Things ran well. I love this verse, Genesis 1, 1 through 5. I'm going to read all these five verses. It's all the way back at creation, before the 6 days of creation, before man was created. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said that the light was good. Then He separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. I could go on and on. This is the point. When you submit your life to the Lord, He starts putting your life in the And when you're in order, all of you, spirit, soul, and body, we're made up of three parts. The spirit, where your spirit lives, where His spirit lives when He comes and inhabits you. Your soul is made up of many parts, but the most basic is mind, emotions, and will. And those are the things that He's going to put in order and put right over time. And then your body. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit is committed to your body, your soul, and your spirit getting aligned with how He created you. And that means putting stuff in order. And you go, when I got saved, I want these blessings, I want these things, but He's telling me to change this, this, and this. The reason He's telling you to change this, this, and this is because to receive His blessings, you have to be in His order for those things to flow through. He doesn't throw blessings onto piles of mud. He throws blessings on things in order. And so He's putting you in order so that you can hear Him better. Things flow through you better. Many, many years ago, I was praying over a very talented minister. And the Lord just gave me a very strong word. And they thought they were going to get one of the rainbow and unicorn type prophecies. Well, you're encouraged. And that is legit. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, words of prophecy are to encourage you for consolation. But this was a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is this is what you need to do, of direction. A word of wisdom is another of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12. And so how many of you have ever gotten a word of wisdom? When you get it, almost always, this is what needs to change. This is what needs to be realigned. And that's what Solomon was given. He said, when he became king, God asked him what he wanted. You know, most of us would say, you know, I want to win the Powerball or whatever it may be. He said, I want wisdom. He said, because you've asked this thing, which is after my heart, I'll give it to you. I've often wondered if he had asked for the Powerball lottery, if God would have given it to him, because it wasn't after his own heart. But either way, he asked for wisdom. So a lot of times you'll get wisdom. We even had a little bit of wisdom, words of wisdom given last night at a group that I was with Israel up in Ringgold. And there was some of the words were, this is what's going about to happen. This is the direction. And I was the one given the words, and their eyes are just like, but it was good. And so, but anyway, many years ago, I was with this minister and I said, the Lord's wants to do some great things in you, but you have got to put in order your marriage and your finances. They're not bad, but they're not where they're supposed to be. And you've been neglecting doing stuff because you hate conflict. How many of you have gotten words like that? Those are words that will save you if they identify. And this particular person just hung their head because they knew what it was. And you know what? I've seen this so many times. And I implore you and beg you not to do what this guy did. He wouldn't do it. The conflict was too much. He didn't want to have to deal with the problems. And today he's not even in the ministry. He's not even doing anything. Not that God doesn't want him to, but he's like, I want to take you to another level of ministry, but I want your spirit, soul, and body put in order. And there's been a lot of that the last 2 to 3 years. How many of you can say amen? It's like, what spiritual is my... And he's trying to get my finances in order. How spiritual is that? I don't know, but it's important. You know, he's been telling me to get my body in better shape. How spiritual is that? I don't know, but he wants us to do it. And we need it to last and to get to where we need to go so we can live long. See, we all want to finish well, right? We talked about that 2 weeks ago. We want to be the Apostle Paul. We want to finish well. And the older you get, I'm in the old category now, is 65. I don't feel sorry for me. It's great. I'd rather know what I know now, know who I am and my identity at 65 than when I was at 25 going, what the heck, where am I going? I'd like to have the body of the 25-year-old, but it's not a good, great trade-off. How many of you the last 20, 30 years, however, going, I've worked too hard to get to who I am. I ain't going back. But that's the Lord putting in an order. And a lot of times you have to judge what's being done, not by the day with some tremendous prophecy, but by the 2-year mark, the 20-year mark. And you go, I'm seeing Him put my life in order, and I'm seeing Him flow more. We all want more authority. We all, in the Spirit, for whatever, in our teaching, in the gifts, in praying. There's a direct relationship between authority and saying yes to the Spirit, soul, and body order. It really is. I cannot tell you, this one person, I was telling them last night, we were giving words of wisdom. You need to watch who, they're not even dating anybody. This is who you got to marry, or watch out on marriage and this and that. Because the Lord, all of that, this whole, everything affects who we want. And so when you start, when you say yes, He starts on a path to order your life like He did at creation, turning darkness into light. Can you say amen? Amen. So ask regularly the Holy Spirit. I was going to say, what do you want to order in my life? I don't think you need to ask this, because you just know, don't you? He's always like wanting to get it ordered. And it's not to be mean. It's to align us more like Jesus, who's in a physical body. He's also 100% God. And as we align Him more like Him, it makes all the difference. Second thing is obvious. Let me read to you what I've already referenced. Solomon, 1 Kings 3. At the very beginning of his reign, he asked God. He was talking to God in 1 Kings 3:9. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. My goodness, don't we need that in our society today? There is such stupidity in our culture. I mean, we just read the news and I'm like, what? It's not even rational. We have gone so far from that. But here we're going to advance in it. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. Verse 11, 1 Kings 3. Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people of justice, and not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And he closes out with this, because this is key. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life. We'll touch on it in a minute. But Solomon died early. He did not. He lived fairly long, but he died way before he was supposed to, because along the way he started out well, saying, "Lord, I want what you want me to have. I say yes." And then he ended it in 1 Kings 3:10, 12, whatever it was, 14. Said, if you will follow me all the days of your life, I'll give you a long life. Well, in a minute we're going to find out he veered off somewhere along the way. But he started well. And we've already talked about it. The second lesson that we can learn from Solomon is ask for wisdom, or the plan, as often as necessary. Probably ought to start out every morning doing it. Lord, what's your plan? Do we need to change this up? Do we need to go in a different direction? And so wisdom is a big deal. Man's wisdom is important, but God's wisdom is so much bigger, and so many times it's different than His. The third lesson I pick up in here is we need others, and to honor those that God's put around us to help us get to where we are. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. We have to understand one of the biggest things that Solomon did was build the temple. Because remember, they were traveling around in a tabernacle. That he built a temple that was evidently amazing. You can go out there and do a search on different search sites, and they've got accurate pictures of it. It's unbelievable what he did. But this is what we need to realize, is all the plans and the provisions was already given to him. David came up with the plans with God's wisdom and already got all the building materials, the gold, the wood, the stone. They were piled up wherever they kept all this stuff. And so he just had to implement this thing. And this is an excellent principle. No matter Let me go ahead and read that. This is 1 Corinthians 28:2. David rose to his feet and said, "My brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the ark of the Lord's covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it." He was to get it ready, the plans and provisions, but the Lord said, "No, Solomon's going to build it." Why does the Lord spread out stuff among people? Why does the Lord spread out stuff even among generations here? Is to realize no matter who you are and what you are, you might have had a bad family situation, but there are people around us that might have been a great grandparent that was prayed into you and you're inheriting their promises. It might be somebody in your church or your small group that's been praying or makes the connections or gives you the job. The Lord always makes us interdependent. Even with Solomon was interdependent. So realize a lesson is one, he orders us, puts order in our life. We need wisdom. And three is we need others. So constantly pray for divine connections. Lord, who is it that's divine connections? Pay attention to them. Sometimes I meet a lot of people. I'm sure you probably meet a lot of people. But I'm starting to realize to pay attention to my spirit. Is this just meeting people? Or is this something that may be a connection for me in the future, a project in the future, assignment in the future? You can usually tell. There's a difference in your spirit. Go, there's something different about this meeting. And it may be a connection for a season, or it may be a connection for a lifetime. And so pay attention, because you will not get there totally on your own. There's this whole mentality in America, I'll do it myself. You can do it yourself, but you ain't going to do much yourself. So I'll pick on Chad here. How many employees do you have, counting all the people that are on the visas? How many? 50. That's a good-sized group. So, and he's got a good business. How far could you get if it was just you? You ain't going to go nowhere, is it? You might go somewhere, but it's going to be a totally different business, isn't it?
Bankrupt.
And so we need each other, and we all have a role.
It's true.
And so, there are people that the Lord will bring into your life to help you physically, like the visa workers to help do whatever they do. There'll be other people that the Lord brings into your life to help spiritually. There'll be other people in your life that'll come into you to help you to mentally and emotionally. Very few times I've ever seen, probably very rare, one person can do all of that. And so he brings all of that to help you at different times. And so pay attention to that. Do not be arrogant and go, "I can do it all my own." Those people do not last long. Many, many years ago, probably, I don't remember, it was a long time ago, probably more than most of y'all were here, young man came in, very talented, very anointed. I could just tell he was. The gifting of God was on him. I mean, sometimes you can just spot it. They're so strong. But this is what I'll say as a background is, you will never achieve the callings on your life fully, probably not even much, unless you allow him to order your life. And I realized at the very beginning when I met him, and I just knew in my spirit, the Lord said, "I want you to help mentor him in his gifts." Okay, this is even before I even talked to him. I just knew it. But this is what happened, and it happens a lot. I started to get to know him, and as I started getting to know him, within the first 5 minutes, he told me what his calling was. And so I understand zeal, I understand enthusiasm, but guess what his calling was? I'm an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. And I said, "All five?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "I've never met somebody that's all five." He was in his 20s, and before it was over with, he was with us for a little while. His life was just a disaster. Got married, got divorced right after that. Because, well, first of all, the only person that's been all five is Jesus Christ. But it's a humility that he was going to teach me And he had never done any of them. And not that I can't learn, but honor and pay attention to others that he puts around you. And avoid arrogance, because this leads to the next fall, the next lesson of Solomon. Solomon obviously was greatly gifted. So let me tell you this, the more gifted you are, the more you're going to have to guard against arrogance. Because you can do a lot in your natural strength. And you can make a lot of things happen in your natural strength. But that doesn't mean God wanted you to do it. And I don't even care if you're doing the stuff, you know, miracles, healings, getting people saved. You can do the stuff and not be saved. What it says at the end times, get away from me because, you know, I cast you away from me because I didn't know you. But I healed the sick, I fed the poor, I cast out demons. Well, what was happening? He was doing the stuff. Healed the sick, cast out demons, but he was not saved. And so the more gifted we are, sometimes if we're not careful, it can be a liability. And what we need to do is every night say, Father, thank you for these giftings. To him who much is required, who much is given, much is required. And Lord, I give you all these gifts. I want to use them all. You've given me 10 talents, not 5, not 3, as the parable says. Help me to honor these 10 talents. And so we want talents, but always giving them back to God. Because what happened was Solomon became arrogant and became sloppy. And so the last lesson here that I want to get across is let blessings stay blessings and nothing more. Let me explain. Let blessings stay blessings and nothing more. 1 Kings 11:4. I mean, he had so much money. He probably was the richest, not just the wisest man on earth. From what we can tell, he is probably the richest man that has ever lived, including Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Bill Gates. The richest man that's ever lived. I mean, he was given, other kings was coming and giving him stuff. Have you ever heard of anything like that? And, you know, he had all kinds of everything. One of his big downfalls, because back then, to make political ties, you didn't do treaties, you gave your daughter. I mean, you know, he had 1,000 women. What was it? 300 wives, 700 concubines. There's no way he could have even known half their names, literally. I mean, if there's 1,000 people in here, I guess you would know their names, but you get my point. This was an insane amount of, but it wasn't just so much for, like, you know, wives, it was just a part of these treaties. But this is key here. 1 Corinthians 11:4, of all these blessings in Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David has been. Solomon worshipped Astaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the testable gods of the Ammonites. You have to realize how bad this was. Molech required child sacrifices. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely as his father, David, had done. And so his blessings over... We want our blessings to overtake us, but we never want to forget who God was. And let blessings stay blessings and nothing more. Here's some questions I wrote down as the Lord increases blessings in your life. Whatever they may be, additional people, better marriage, more money, kids that are following after God. Can you let them go easily? If the Lord asked you, if you have a big bank account, if the Lord asked you to give everything in your bank account away, could you do it? If you hesitate, I'm just telling you, get on your knees and go, Father, this blessing is becoming more than a blessing. It's becoming my identity. It's becoming who I am. It's becoming my security. You got me here. If you want me to give it all away, fine. You can bring it back if you want. I mean, here's Abraham, who's in that a hall of fame in Hebrews 11. That's the nickname for Hebrews 11. God gives him a vision of you will have as many kids and grandkids, et cetera, as there are stars in the sky. Well, back then, they didn't have light pollution like we do. You go out here at night, you're going to see some stars where they're not going to be very many. Go somewhere else, you know, up in the North Georgia mountains where there's no light around. Then look at the stars and make that assertion. So he was promised all this. 25 years later, he has one kid. Well, not tell you about it, he had two kids because he got Ishmael in there. So he has two kids. That's it. And then the father, and so this is the test. When the Lord blesses you, he will always test you to see if the blessings have become your security in God. He always does this, no matter what it is. Because he wants to continue blessing you, but if they become your idol, because what you focus on, if you focus on those things more than him, they've become your idol. And he asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. The promise where all these grandkids are going to come through. If he dies, there is no grandkids. You get that, right? Now you have to understand, I often thought for years he was like, what, 3 years old or something? He was 33 years old. So now he's about 133 and he's just got two kids, Ishmael and Isaac. And Isaac hadn't had any kids yet. He's 33 years old. It's amazing that Isaac even allowed himself to be put on the sacrifice or the altar. I can't quite get my mind around that one. How much did he trust Abraham to do that? Because he's 33, Abraham's 133. He could have whipped Abraham without any problem. But he allowed himself to get up there. And we see the wrestle that Abraham had. Will my blessings be more than blessings? Now, I'm all for blessings, but we have to make sure they don't steal our heart like the blessings of Abraham did. Amen. Solomon doesn't end well. 1 Kings 11:9. So here we go. This is an intense word, but it's instructive for us. The Lord was very angry with Solomon. 1 Kings 11:9. For his heart had turned away from the Lord. See, the key thing is not the blessings. I mean, they're a result of your heart. So all of your life, keep your heart soft before the Lord. Keep your heart open to the Lord. Keep your heart to a place where I will do whatever he wants me to do. And if he wants to give me to give it all up, I'll give it all up. Because I don't want any idols in my life, anything between me and him. For his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods, but Solomon did not listen to the Lord's command. So now the Lord said to him, since you have not kept my covenant and have disobeyed my decrees, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants, which ended up, you know, he did. But for the sake of your father David, I will not do this while you are still alive. I will take the kingdom away from your son. So here's another thing that David's influence and spiritual fathers and spiritual generations affects other generations. So Josh and Susan over here don't have grandkids yet, but they will one day. And their lives will affect great, great grandkids that they won't even know because they would have already died. How does that happen? I don't know, but it just permeates through here. David, isn't this amazing? Solomon said, I'm not going to do it right now because David was faithful to me. And even so, I will not take away the entire kingdom. I will let him be a king of one tribe for the sake of David, parentheses, not you. That has to be humbling when he heard that. And for the sake of Jerusalem, my chosen city. So ask the Lord as we close here, is there anything in my life, especially what you have given me, that has captured my affections in a wrong way? Amen. Let's close in prayer. And so, Father, we come to you and we thank you that you are making us overcomers. You're teaching us, as we've talked about, how to ask for wisdom, the plan, to listen to your voice, to change our world, how to persevere, how to walk in faith. And Father, as you order us and blessings start to align and accumulate around us because we're aligned with you, Father, let the blessings always be the blessings. Let it all be about you so that when we stand before the cross, there's this passage that just blows my mind, and I talked about it earlier. He said, I will honor those who honor me. I will dishonor those who disown and dishonor me. I don't even know what that means, that you will honor us. But Father, we're going to be in that group. We're going to follow hard after you, and we're always going to say yes. And you are always going to be our King and our God. And we look forward to the life of adventure that you have for us. And so that one day we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. That's what we live for, Father. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I just pray you bless every person here. They hear your voice better. You give them wisdom. And their influence grows because then your influence grows around us. In Jesus' name, amen.